Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Time on the Mic, the podcast that looks at life and various subjects through the eyes of myself. I am GT. I am a 63-year-old baby boomer, and I am here with...
Daniel. I'm a 16-year-old Gen Zer.
And Daniel is my grandson. So, once again, we want to put out our contact information. Email is timeonthemic, Mike spelled M-I-C, at gmail.com. And Mr. Daniel here, who does all the scientific social media stuff.
Scientific?
Yeah, well, it is to me.
Everything is Time on the Mic, besides Facebook. For right now, it is Time on the Mic and last name Daniel, but it will be changed in 60 days to Time on the Mic, last name podcast.
And by the time you hear this, there should be some...
some posts coming out.
Right. So we're in the process of doing that, but sometimes life gets in the way.
Add me. Basically.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'll accept you.
We'll accept anybody. We don't care. Unless you're a serial killer. Well, even then, we might consider
it. Yeah. Be an interesting poll on, too.
A what?
Interesting. Like, we could have a call.
Oh, yeah.
An interview.
We should do, because you can, on Facebook, you can do live stuff, right?
Yeah.
We should do that. Like, we should do a call and advice show.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, you know. My love life is shit. And
my got any advice for both sides?
Hey, yeah. I could give out great advice. The thing is, as you get older, you're great at giving advice, but you're terrible at following your own advice.
We should do that. We should do that for an episode. We should do an advice thing.
Well, we got to have followers first.
I guess.
So get some followers. We'll do it.
All right.
Is anybody following us on Twitter or?
Not. Well, currently a friend of mine, but. It will be okay. Posted out after.
Well, get up, episode, get so. You know, 20,000 or 30,000 followers. And... All right. So before we get into too much here, we want to talk about an upcoming. Is it a UFC fight or just a box?
Just a boxing fight.
Okay. We're not going to spend We're not going to spend a lot of time on sports, but we got a couple things we want to mention. One is the fight between
Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. Jake Paul being the problem child. That's his nickname. What do you think about that nickname?
Why do they call him that?
He's the problem. He's a problem.
Why is he?
He was an influencer. Now he's taking over the sport of boxing. He's a problem. He's young.
Why is
he
that?
Got a powerful gun.
Why is that a problem?
He's just, that's his nickname.
Hmm. Did he give himself that name?
No.
Hmm.
Well, kind of and kind of not. People accept it.
Yeah.
It's a very taking on name.
But I mean, if he's got the talent, he seems to... I mean, I don't know a lot about his boxing career, but it seems like it's pretty good, right?
Yeah, he's very good. And then going against Iron Mike.
Yeah. I'm going to fuck you up, motherfucker.
Got to have the stutter. You forget it again.
Look at my face. Doesn't that scare you?
And they're making jokes about having... how... did you know that he said... to sign the contract, big boy, and all those comments of when he was in his prime and everything. He was like, sign the contract.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyways, that's some lore about Mike Tyson. People, when he was saying, some guy called him out in a fight, and he was like, and he was sitting in the stands, he was like, sign the contract, big boy, the contract.
Yeah.
And it's a big thing on social media where he's signing the contract and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I didn't get into it, but I saw a headline on some news site or something that said, he made some comment to this Paul guy.
What?
I don't know what it was.
Probably that he signed the contract.
Oh, okay.
But the fight's on July 20th, and it's live streamed on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And what is your prediction of this fight?
Well, I got to go with Mike.
Yeah?
I mean, I know it's been a while. Well, how long has it been since he boxed?
He boxed, I believe, in 2020.
Hmm. So it's been a while. How old is he? You know,
I don't know, probably 50s, 60s.
All I know is back in the day, that guy was...
I mean, he's still training like he's 30, so...
He was something. I mean, his matches lasted seconds.
Oh, I think I might know what your comment is. His Jake's brother commented that hopefully he doesn't bite your ear off.
Yeah, that was bizarre. I forgot all about that till you just mentioned it. Yeah, that was crazy.
Was that before or after he went to prison? Do you know?
I think before.
But yeah.
Yeah, it was Evander Holyfield. I I don't know that I saw that live. I saw the replay of it, and man, he just like a dog with a sock, you know? He's like, and he just, and Evander Holyfield's like, what the hell? And he's like, blood squirting everywhere. Oh my God. Yeah, that was nuts. Well, he was crazy. You got to be crazy to box anyway.
Yeah. So you take Mike in what type of way? Decision, KO, TKO, what?
How many?
Jake has, I think, 10 professional fights or somewhere around there. How many rounds
is it?
It's probably 8. I don't know the rounds.
I can't see Mike going 8 rounds.
But Jake has 8 or 10 professional fights, and he's only lost 1 by decision, and it was by 1 point.
Yeah, but who's he fighting though? Are they
professionals?
But I mean, are they talented?
Yeah, he fought Anderson Silva. You might know that name. Mm-hmm. He's fought Ben Askren. Another like these are highly looked at guys in the field.
I'm gonna predict Mike knocks him out by the 3rd round or in the 3rd round.
See, I'd say...
I know before we talked about this, you said that Paul's just going to try to tire him out.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what, if Tyson connects with one hit, he's done.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
So I'd say since Jake has a cannon of a right hand and he has a pretty nifty left, I'd say...
Nifty?
Yeah. Like, he can pop it really fast. Unlike most fighters where they have like a cannon of one hand and not so much the other, he can switch his stances. I'd say that Jake tries to tire him out and he tries to get just power shots in to get more points on the board.
You think it's going to be a decision then?
Yeah, I think it goes to decision, but Jake by at least 10 to 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have Netflix?
No, but I'll probably stream it somehow.
We won't say how.
Yeah.
Going to put some foil on your rabbit ears? You probably don't even know what that means. So back in my day on the TVs, we had what they called rabbit ears antennas.
Yeah.
And sometimes, for whatever, I don't know who came up with this, but sometimes the reception wasn't that great. So it was the belief that put some aluminum foil on it and it'll, I guess, thinking that the radio waves would,
circulate more.
I guess, but... It never worked, but we thought it worked. Yeah. So you think it's going to go 8 rounds? Boy, I can't see that. Maybe. I remember I did. A friend of mine got the pay-per-view when he got beat by Buster Douglas. And everybody was like, holy shit. But you never heard another word out of Buster Douglas. You would have thought that would have propelled his career. But
yeah.
He was just like disappeared. Yeah. Yeah, you can't bet against Mike Tyson, I don't think.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, like I said, even if he gets one good shot to the head, that guy's done.
I don't know. He's taken a lot of shots, but it's definitely going to be a closer fight than I'd say most people think.
So is Jake Paul training like he's, you know?
Yeah, he takes the boxing world like professional-wise. I mean, he calls himself a professional. He is a professional now.
He is.
He is out of Puerto Rico now. He fights out of Puerto Rico.
Whatever happened to Don King? Remember him?
No.
The guy that he was a promoter and his hair stood straight up.
I have no clue.
You don't know who that is?
No.
Oh, that guy. And he'd be a loudmouth. He was like a wrestling manager, but he was a boxing promoter. He was just, he was nuts.
But yeah, he trains every day. With his girlfriend and with his trainers and...
When he's beating up his girlfriend?
No, his girlfriend is a...
She's not a sparring partner?
No, she's a...
Come here!
She's a Olympic, speed skater. I don't know what that's called, but she does, like...
I think it's called speed skater.
Is it? I don't know. But she does skating, so Olympic skating. But yeah, they train. He trains every day. So yeah.
Is this an Olympic year?
Yeah, he's actually fighting in the Olympics for USA.
So summer or winter?
I think summer.
Mm. I can't watch
in Paris.
I don't know why everybody makes such a big deal about that. I find it boring.
Yeah.
All right, so I say Mike in 3, knock by knockout.
Okay.
And you say it's going to go the distance and Jake's going to win by decision.
Yeah.
Are we going to bet real money on this?
5 doubloons.
Five doubloons. a bag of Skittles. All right, last sports thing. We want to talk real quick about our fantasy hockey league, which is going on right now. So regular season is over. I ended up in fourth place, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And you?
I ended up in first, tied for first, but I have a lot more points than the other guy, so.
And that's what pisses me off.
I
have the most points of anybody.
Well, what's your record? What's your record? I'm 15-7.
I don't know.
Now what's yours?
It's enough to get me in fourth place.
But yeah.
But this is playoff week, so.
I have a bye, obviously.
Yeah. This is the first night of playoffs. I'm predicted to win this week, but we'll see. I was predicted to win last week and got my ass kicked by like 50-some points. But I don't know. That guy, that's the second time he's done that to me. He's got some like mojo or some whoever it was I played. He did that to me before where I was supposed to beat him by like 100 points.
Yeah.
By the end of the week, he was beating me by 100 points. I think he's like sacrificing rabbits or something. I don't know. Can you still say that?
What?
Sacrificing rabbits.
I mean, I understand it. I don't.
All right. So where are we going next?
Whatever you like.
So you wanted to talk about fads growing up. So go ahead and give us yours.
Like, people consider this a fad, but...
what was that?
I said fad. People consider this a fad, but Pokemon Go, they consider it a fad. I got back into it recently.
But that's not a... That's a recent thing, right?
No, not really. 2016, 2015.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, man, time flies when you're old.
That's like 8 or 9 years, I'd say. But yeah.
So what is the point of Pokemon Go?
Not really a point. Just
no point?
Not really. Just get the most Pokemon that you want. Be a good trainer, basically. Win battles. Now it's becoming a battle thing. Where you can face people online and locally.
Okay, so pretend that I have no idea what you're talking about because I don't.
Okay.
How does it work? So you capture Pokemon?
Yeah, and you spend...
And you train them? How do you train them?
It's... Okay, so trainer is basically just you. You're the trainer.
Okay, but how do
you... That's just your name. You're just catching them as... So basically, to become a person who... catches Pokemon, so you become a trainer.
Trainer and title only.
So basically, from Pokemon, when you turn, I believe it's in your teens, you become a trainer. Whenever you get your starter Pokemon, that's the lore of the actual show.
Now, if memory serves me right, Pokemon started by Nintendo.
Yeah, something like that, I think.
And it was a card game, right?
Yeah.
And then it kind of just exploded.
Yeah.
I remember when your dad was a kid. You could buy a whole box of Pokemon cards for like $13. And I remember one Saturday, I think it was a Saturday anyway, there was a local shop selling boxes of Pokemon cards for $13. So I bought one and his buddy down the street bought one. I might have bought two. But then they'd come home all excited and sit around in a circle and they'd just one pack at a time.
Yeah.
And they'd... If I remember right, the get card was Charizard.
Yep. It's very expensive now.
I don't know what he... Do you ever know what... Do you ever ask him what he did with all those?
No.
I have no idea. I know I don't have them. But anyway, it was funny because the cards that had holographic backgrounds or whatever,
they would call
them shiny.
Yep.
I got a shiny Charizard. I'd be like, what are you talking about? But they never... And it would come with, was it coins or what? Some round? Yeah,
like tokens. They're called tokens.
Yeah. That was part of the game, right?
Yeah,
because
coins.
They never played the game. It was just like, what cards can
collecting,
I get?
Collecting, yeah.
Yeah. But he had a crap load of them cards.
Also, so, yeah.
No, go ahead.
I don't know if you want to continue talking about Pokemon, but...
Well, tell us. So you've told me before you've got some cards that are worth quite a bit.
Yeah.
What are they?
Like... I have ones from Roaring Skies, which is my favorite set. Roaring Skies, that are pretty rare, that are worth a lot of money. I have some old cards that are higher in the price range.
Like how much?
Give or take, like $2,000.
Why do you still have them?
Why? Because they'll grow up. I have a shiny... Gengar.
Shiny?
Yeah.
So you have a what?
I have a holographic Gengar from the original set.
That sounds like you need to go see a doctor for that.
Yeah.
I have a shiny Gengar. But holy crap. Get him some medicine quick.
It's in a case that has two, like, so it's in a plastic case, but like more like.
Now, did you buy these or did you get them like in a pack or?
I bought this one, but I don't remember, but it was before they even knew that it was worth money. You know how like retailers like price cards, but don't always do the research.
Right.
So when I was littler, I bought the card for like $10 and then now it's skyrocketed. But yeah, so.
It's a shiny, what?
It's a holographic Gengar. And it's in a case that has two bolts on top and bottom. So it's like it's screwed in.
So you mentioned in this Pokemon Go game, you're doing battles.
Yeah.
So how does that work? They actually fight or?
Yeah. Like in like the movies and TV series, they fight and they have moves and they have different.
So do you control them while they're fighting?
Yeah. So.
Are you going against another?
Actual person, yeah.
So they're controlling their guy, you're controlling your guy?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a long way from Pong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other fads, you know, the fidget spinner.
Oh, God. Yeah, I remember those. But just to back up a bit, so when I was a kid, I collected baseball and not a huge collection. I was more into comics. I had a huge comic collection, but I had some basketball cards, baseball cards, and football cards. And this was several years ago, back in the 80s. I ran across, they used to, like if you bought Post brand cereals, like Raisin Bran.
Yeah, they would come with cards.
And they were what they call lenticular. Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
So what it is if you tilt it or something, it looks like it's moving.
Oh, okay.
They call it 3D. But
yeah.
So I don't remember who I had, but I looked these up the other day. Man, some of those are worth some big money.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I know I had a basketball card of Pete Maravich, who, Pistol Pete.
Yep.
I think Lou Alcindor, before he changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I found him one day, I had him in a brown paper bag, like a little lunch bag. There was probably 20 or 30 cards. I don't even really remember what all was in there. But I was cleaning out a bunch of stuff, and I asked this lady who I worked with. I said, "Do you think your kid would want to buy these?" Guess how much I sold them for?
$10.
$8. And I'm thinking, holy crap, man! I just gave away a treasure chest. But yeah.
Did your dad also put your cards in the furnace?
No,
just the comics.
Comics, yeah. So when I can't even remember when I wasn't collecting comic books. I had comics before I could actually read, and I'd have to have somebody read them to me. But he had in his garage, he had a kerosene heater that he had to light the pilot light every time he wanted to use it. So he would take my comic books and rip them up, like take the pages out of them and rip them. And he made this little wire thing that he stuck the paper in and lit it on fire. And he'd stick it in there and light the pilot light. I remember I found out about that and I'm like, "What are you doing?" That was the end of that. But yeah, I collected comics as a kid. And when I say collected, I kept them. Everybody always told me, you know, take care of those and do this or that because they're going to be worth money someday. And I was just like, I mean, we used to trade them among the neighborhood kids.
You could have never imagined what it is now.
Oh, no. So when I got back in the 90s, I think, is when I seriously got into collecting. And me and your dad, when he was little, we used to go up to the shop that your buddy owns.
Yeah.
But it was owned by somebody else. And we'd go up there at least once a week, if not more. But I bought a crap load of comics from that guy. In fact, he pulled me aside one time and he goes, "Hey, you should probably buy this. You want it? How many of these do you want?" And you know what it was?
Yeah, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
The first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. And I'm like, "What?" And I'm looking at it and it's all like black and white. And I said, "Who's going to read a book about freaking turtles that are ninjas?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well..." And I could have bought 100 of those things. And I passed like an idiot. But
didn't you talk about how like gerbils or whatever were
comics? Radioactive hamsters?
Yeah.
There was that. I don't know about gerbils. maybe. Back in the 90s, man. So what they were doing back then, and this is what killed the comic book industry, in my opinion. So they were into comic book publishers would put out a book, right?
Yeah.
And you'd have what they call variant covers. Mm-hmm. So it would either be something weird about the cover, or it was lenticular, or
there would be like specific ones with like handwriting or letters
or a different artist or whatever. And it was like, you're buying the same book. It's got a different cover. So it was a roll of, and sometimes it'd be like four or five different covers.
Yeah.
So what they were thinking, and I get it, but you know, how can we boost sales? Well, we'll do this and people will buy the same thing five or six times, you know, collectors, because you never knew what cover was going to go crazy. It might not. None of them might, or some of them might, or you just didn't know. But I think that's one of the things that killed, besides, I mean, back then, you could buy a comic for like $2 or $3. Now they're what, like $6 or $7?
Yeah, like 14
to 14?
$1. 14 to $1.
No, I mean new ones.
Yeah. But I bought a new one, but it was like a locally done one for $1.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's somebody just trying to get their name out there. First comic I ever bought, it was a Batman comic book. It was Detective Comics. I don't know what issue it was, but I remember the cover. It was 12 cents.
Yeah.
There was a store by our house where the guy would just have them on a rack, you know, one of those spinning racks, and $12. Yeah, that's where it all started.
$12?
Or 12 cents, sorry. But now I have a collection of, what, like 12 long boxes. So I don't even know how many. It's crazy. But a couple of years ago during COVID, I decided to catalog them all. So I got them all out and I made a spreadsheet so I'd know what my inventory was. And I found this website called, I think it was comicrealms.com, where it was like a price guide. So I'm looking them up and I'm, you know, here's what, so I knew kind of what the value was, but I came across a Batman Beyond that I remember buying, number one. And when I looked it up, it said it was worth $400. And I'm like, what? There's no way. 'Cause it wasn't that old. And I think the cover price was like $299. So I did some research and sure as shit, that was the one. So I put it up on eBay. I sold it for like $350.
Really?
I was like, Jesus. Yeah. So, but long story short, I got them all cataloged, got them all priced according to the grade, at least the grade in my opinion. And I ended up realizing that I should probably get these insured.
Yes.
So, yeah. So now I pay $200 a year to have them insured. But it's worth it, because if they went up in flames or something, I'd be devastated. But my best comic as far as value goes is I have a Justice League of America number one from 1960s, whatever it was, 61. But it's worth about several thousand.
Yeah.
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 I paid $45 for it.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Investment?
Yeah, I don't know about that. But I mean, it's not like you can retire on it, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I was heavily into collecting comic books, boy, I could rattle off all kinds of, you know, who the artist was and what were the key issues. And yeah, it's a fun hobby, but it's expensive. And it takes up so much room. I had to stop buying them because it's like, my house is going to be filled with comics.
Yeah.
So you got a little collection going, right?
Yeah. I got a bookshelf, like a long bookshelf that I have.
And do you ever go out and see what they're worth?
I've done it once, but I haven't gone back into looking. I've more looked into my card collection prices.
Car collection?
Card.
Oh, cards. Yeah. So what's your most valuable? Is it a Pokemon? Or you? Because you collect football.
Yeah. I probably have some hidden gems in the football and baseball, because I bought older, like complete sets from like the 70s from garage sales.
Oh, really?
So I could have a hidden gem, but I think football, if it gets graded, maybe $5,000.
Really?
So, but for Pokemon, my collection's worth a lot.
So like comics, they have it's CGC, which you can send it away and they'll grade it and seal it. And they have the same thing for cards.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's PSA.
I thought about doing that, but when I started doing research, it was like,
You barely get it. You get it after like, it could be a year a month to a week, and you also have to pay them.
Yeah. And it's
like
not
half the card value.
It's not cheap.
Yeah.
Cause they at least the comics, I think they charge you based on the value.
Yeah. They like charge it based off half of the value. So.
Yeah. It's a racket. Everything. Everybody's got their hand out.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I can say though, every comic I have, I've read at least once.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, any fads from your generation that you hope was still a thing?
Fads that I still hope was a thing?
Or just fads that you want to bring up?
We had, back in my day, you're familiar with Garbage Pail Kids?
Yeah.
The cards? I still have some of those,
too. They still bring those out. They're not worth the same amount of money.
But I have some of the original ones.
Yeah.
But was that a... Like a, it had to do with because of that doll, Cabbage Patch Kids, right?
Yeah, Cabbage Patch Dolls. Yeah. That's kind of like a Garage Pals or whatever it's called from our generation. And we have a lot of random like little collectible things.
Yeah.
That we had like squishy ones or like disgusting ones for the guys, like little boys. And then like for the little girls, it would be like some like random dolls like LOL. Is now and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with Garbage Pail Kids, basically what they were was baseball card size cards you'd buy in a pack. I don't know if back then they'd always have a stick of gum and the gum was hard as a brick.
Yeah.
But they would make up these weird names like Atom Bomb.
Yeah.
And they had really disgusting
artwork
on the front of the card, like some kid blowing up and his guts flying everywhere and some had like snot dripping out of their nose.
Yeah.
I don't remember what was on the back though. Was there anything?
I think it was just informative stuff about the character itself.
But it was popular for a while. I mean, it was like, hey, did you
get... It came popular again. I mean,
didn't they make a movie out of that?
I don't know, but it's worth a lot of money, the old ones at least.
I'll have to get those out.
But yeah, they're worth a lot.
Yeah. Huh.
Especially the doll.
Maybe I'll sell them to some kid for $8.
Hopefully it's this kid, but
I don't know if they're of any value. I'd have to look them up. I have no idea. But I've got probably, 20.
Decent amount.
Yeah. Fads in my day. Let's see. As a kid, we used to put playing cards in our with a clothespin on our bikes so that would hit the spokes would hit them and they'd make noise.
Clothespin?
It would hold the... So you know how on a bike, the forks that the tire hooks to?
Yeah.
So you take a card and you'd...
Yeah, you either do...
You'd clothespin it to the fork so the card would stick in the wheels.
So
when you rode your bike, when you pedaled and it turned, it would go click, 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 click. You'd be like, yay!
So our our generation does a version of that with water bottles. We just stick it in between the tire and the seat. And it makes like a car engine noise more, like very loud rubbing.
The tire in the seat.
Yeah, like put it
on a bike.
Yeah, well, I don't. No, not the seat, but in between the tires.
Oh, the tire and the fender.
Yeah, so it would. It
makes I've like never a, heard of that. How so, do you? Yeah. How does? What do you? How's it stay in there?
It just being compressed so hard, and also obviously the card. But yeah.
Yeah, but man. If you didn't have a bike as a kid, my age growing up, bottle. I mean, that was how you got around before you had a car. But, fads. Well, okay, here's one for you. Early 70s, and this guy was a genius, made $1 million, the Pet Rock.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when that came out and people were just like, it was around Christmas time, and you couldn't find them because stores couldn't keep them in stock, but it was just a rock in a box.
Yep.
I don't know what they sold for, but I think the guy made at least $1 million. But it's like, that's just genius.
Yeah.
Then the mood rings.
Yeah.
Which basically all it did was change color based on body heat.
Yeah.
But what are some of yours besides?
Well, I said fidget spinners, Pokemon Go.
Yeah, what the hell? Do you still have all those?
Yeah.
I remember we used to go to the store and you'd be like, hey, buy me this fidget spinner. And I'm like, you've got like 100 of these things. Yeah, but it's got whatever on it.
Yeah. I don't know.
You'd sit there and spin that thing?
Yeah.
Did they let you have those in school?
Yeah.
You know, those started out as a, was it for kids with autism?
Yeah. It's a, like a ADHD, anxiety releasing type toy that more things are coming out for like that. So.
Do they still make those?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, there was a million different designs of those things. Yeah. I don't get this.
I don't get it now. So, but I mean, if I found one, I'd probably mess with it for like 2 minutes. But yeah.
So another fad, like, I don't know if you'd call it a fad, probably. It probably qualifies as a fad, but when I think it had to have been early, mid-70s where Kung Fu movies were popular.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee. And we used to all think, you know, we'd go watch a Bruce Lee movie and we'd get out of the movie thinking we're badasses and we'd start, you know, karate chopping each other and shit. Yeah. Yeah, we had to find a lot to do to entertain ourselves back then. It wasn't like today. All right. So fads, what else we got? You mentioned cars.
Yeah, I did. Dream car growing up or right now or both?
Well, what do you got for cars?
So growing up, my dream cars, and that's kind of how it is still, but the Nissan GTR. I don't know if you know that car. Do you?
No.
Do I need to show you pictures?
Sure.
So it was a Nissan GTR. Do you know another one was the Lamborghini, I don't know how to say this, Countach, but I always called it the Lamborghini 89. It's from, yeah, so Lamborghini 1989. That's another car that I dreamed of. Do you know this at all?
Mm-mm.
You don't know these two at all?
Well, I know what a Lamborghini looks like.
Yeah,
that's the one with the doors that go up.
Yeah, it's very boxy, the one that I'm talking about, but this is the GTR.
Oh, okay, that looks fast.
So yeah, it's a obviously a sports car, but yeah, the
so how did you latch onto these?
I'd say Nissan is from, you know, the Fast and Furious.
Oh, okay.
But GTR specifically has the Skyline models, the old ones, and the new ones are actually very nice as well. So, and it's just been going up in like performance wise, so mm-hmm. It's very likable. And the Lamborghini, I don't know how I came to like that. It's a just very, I like the boxiness of the car, and it looks like, especially the red one and everything that revolves around it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like an artwork piece,
mm-hmm.
I'd say. That's why I kind of like it.
How much does that cost?
Oh, I don't know. The 25th anniversary one they have, and I guess the original is probably like impossible to find.
Yeah.
So for sale. $600,000.
Ah,
I'll for take, the 25th anniversary one.
I'll take two.
Yeah. But there's another car, but I don't know. I don't believe I've ever found the name of it or what year. But I think you know what I'm talking about. The one at the post office that just sits there.
Oh, the old, like the old 30s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite car.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
But I don't know how to describe it. It's a 30s car. It's boxy.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either, but yeah, it's old.
I think I just like the box look of cars.
Mm-hmm.
So
cars today, the thing I notice, they all look the same.
Yeah.
You can't tell one from another until you can get up on it enough to read.
Unless it's more of a sports car.
But yeah. I mean, it's like they all look the same.
Yeah.
And right now, the price of a new car is just crazy.
Yeah. Especially a truck.
Oh. So I'm thinking about buying a new car, and I'm trying to figure out what to get. And of course, I'm asking your dad because he knows all about that crap. But I looked at I saw a Land Rover the other day when I was out doing something, and I thought that's pretty cool because I want like an SUV.
Yeah. Like and, a big, like spacious car.
Well, not necessarily huge, but just something that doesn't look like a car.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I believe Toyota used to make those Land Rovers, but so I looked one up anyway, they don't make them anymore. I don't know who does, but,
BMW I think is the brand does Range Rovers.
I don't anyway,
that's a big spacious car.
Anyway, I found one finally, but to start the base, I mean the very base model, $56,000. And I'm like, jeez, I could buy a house for that. I mean, my first house cost less than $30,000.
Yeah. See, that's came up in recent things, like recent videos online. Like, this is a very popular thing where they're asking older people, what was your starting out house price? What was the gas price when you were growing up? And
well, back when I was a kid, they used to have what they'd call them gas wars. So stations would compete with each other for the price, you know, who has a lower price. So besides that, when you pulled into a gas station then, there was a guy that would come out and pump your gas.
Yeah.
He'd also wash your windows. He would check your oil and check your tire pressure.
Do you know why, when that ever stopped? Just why? Or
well, it stopped when they started the self-service crap, you know? So they went from... Because most gas stations back then also, like, they would sell you a tire if you needed it. I mean, they had, like, very basic repair shop. Kind of.
Yeah.
So they had a guy or two that could do that stuff.
Kind of like a two-gas station.
It would have, like, a... Like, you'd pull up, and they have, like, the part where the... Like, now it's, like, where the cashier sits, and they'd have, you know, soda and candy, and then they'd have a...
Garage.
Like a garage with a bay in it where you could change oil, put a tire on, whatever. But, and they'd also give you something.
Yeah.
They'd give you like a towel or a glass or a...
To keep coming?
I still have these somewhere. I know I have them. I just don't know where. But when they first landed on the moon, they I don't know what
coins?
Station. Yeah, they'd give you coins with
a celebration.
And I think it was Shell, but I don't remember.
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
But anyway, during the gas wars, the cheapest I ever remember seeing gas, guess.
80 cents.
19 cents.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
When I first started driving, I could fill up my car for 10 bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gas was, I want to say, 30 or 40 cents a gallon.
Huh.
And I remember when during the 70s, they had the so-called oil crisis or fuel crisis in this country where it was like, we're going to run out of gas. And people would like...
Stockpile?
Well, they would line up at a gas station. I mean, the lines were like 2 miles long and you didn't know if you were way back, they may run out, you know?
Well, what's your dream car when you were growing up or in now?
Well, see, when I grew up, you could tell one car from another. Yeah. I grew up in the muscle car era. So I had a friend who had one of these, and I always wanted... My first car was a 67 Chevelle, which was... I wish I still had it, but I don't. So he had a 69 Nova, and his dad owned a gas station in town, and he was like the mechanic. So the guy knew engines and all that stuff in and out, but oh man, that thing was sweet. He used to, and I know this is going to sound crazy too, but when I was a kid, you could run around the neighborhood and nobody knew who you were with, what you were doing, because nobody, you know, you didn't have phones or your parents would say, well, just be home by dark.
Yep.
But he'd be out driving around and he'd stop and I'd jump in his car and we'd go off riding. I mean, he'd just take me wherever he wanted to go, and we'd ride around, and he'd, you know, do burnouts and stuff. And I'd be like, oh, this is so sweet. but he got drunk one night and wrapped it around a tree or a telephone pole or something. I don't know. He totaled it out, but that car was sweet. So, yeah, that'd be my dream car. If I could have his car before he wrecked it.
Cars back then were just so much better than cars now. They just look so much better.
Then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, they were built. They were built. There wasn't plastic on anything.
It's more like art pieces than...
Yeah.
Just performance-wise or, oh, here's a road car for you, you know, to get you by.
Well, and back then, everything had a V8, you know. Yeah. They got shit for gas mileage, but nobody cared because gas was like 20 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
So the so-called fuel crisis. So I remember when gas was getting up towards a dollar a gallon. And I was probably 16, 17.
You were like, that's crazy.
And I said to my friends, I said, if gas gets up over a dollar a gallon, I'm just not going to drive anymore. I'm going to just get my bike. And now, look, now it's like almost $4 a gallon. It's, yeah, back then, I mean, it was like a dollar a gallon for gas. Holy shit, the world's coming to an end. But that whole fuel crisis thing was a bunch of crap because there was... You always heard these stories about these tanker trucks that would go out in the middle of the desert or something and just dump all their gas.
Wow.
So it was the consensus at the time amongst Joe Average was it was all just a bunch of shit. The government was telling us a lie. Imagine that. And I don't know. I mean, it all seemed to end as quick as it began. So I don't know. But I know it was crazy. Back then, the pumps couldn't handle, like, if it was over a dollar a gallon,
yeah,
the pumps couldn't calculate it. So a lot of the pumps you'd pull up and it'd say, okay, you have to times two, whatever, you know, like, so if you got $5, it was actually $10. It was crazy. There was no digital pumps. It was all analog. You know, these things would spin around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Broken dial would really mess things up.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. 19 cents, I remember that.
So, speaking of, like, trying to bike around and going biking around and just walking around, growing up, were you guys were never fearful of the starting of abductions and...
You never heard...
Serial killers or...
That was... It wasn't a thing. I mean, if it was, it wasn't where we lived. And you never, if something ever did happen and it got out, it was like, everybody was like in total panic mode.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, when I was a teenager in the summer times when school was out, cause I'd be outside. I mean, it was dark and I'd be like, hey, I'm going to jump on my bike and just go ride around. And
yeah,
I'd jump on my bike and leave. Nobody knew I'd left or, but yeah, no, we didn't worry about any of that. And if your parents didn't, I remember my mom, cause all my friends and stuff were pretty close.
Yeah.
So if she wanted me home for some reason, she'd go out in the driveway and just yell, come home.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, okay.
But I don't want to.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, if they couldn't find you, they wouldn't even know where to begin to look. I mean.
Yeah.
So, but nobody, yeah, nothing ever really happened. Nothing happened that I can remember to anybody we knew.
So when the international stuff happened, how old were you?
Well, what happened here locally was there was a kid... It was a newspaper. This is what started the putting pictures on milk cartons and stuff.
Yeah.
So he was a newspaper boy. His name was Johnny Gosch. And that was, I mean, this was like every day. It was like the headline around here for months. So he went out one day to do his paper route and never came back. But it wasn't around here. It was, you know, 2-3 hours away.
Yeah.
But it was close enough where the news, it made national news, but it was like, where is this kid? I don't know that they ever did find him, but that's what started the whole putting pictures on milk cartons and stuff. But yeah, after that, parents, you know, started thinking, maybe we should keep better track of our kid. In fact, It's weird. I just thought of this. So I think I told you this before, but our TV stations would go off the air at midnight.
Okay.
So there was no 24-hour TV. If you were up past midnight, it was the radio or records or whatever, or you read a book. But it was like at 11 o'clock, they would do this thing where it'd go, boom, boom. It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? That's no joke.
Really?
Yeah. And I always thought, why are they doing that? But then it was like, yeah, but it wasn't a concern, though.
So you don't remember internationally when, like, the big names were taking a terror across the states?
Abductions?
Yeah, like...
For kids?
Yeah, like Ted and John Wayne.
Oh, well, Ted Bundy wasn't... Yeah, I don't think he did kids, though.
The Night Stalker. Yeah, he did.
Kids?
Yeah, he did.
I thought he was...
That was more later on in, like, Florida. He would abduct, it was like, grade school kids.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I remember serial killers. Wow, first serial killer. That's a subject that always fascinated me. I used to get books about that and read about these people.
I do the same.
I remember Gacy because that was... It wasn't close, but it was close enough. I mean, that made national news.
Yeah, I mean, he was stationed, what, near here, I think, in the prison.
Oh, yeah, when he was in prison?
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I know this is going to sound crazy, but me and a guy I worked with at the time, the night he was executed, we were going to, was it Joliet?
Yeah, I think it was Joliet Prison.
We were going to go up there.
Yeah.
And I mean, we couldn't get in to see it, but of course, you know, there'd be a crowd of people out there going, kill him, kill him. But yeah, we didn't go, but I wanted to. I don't know. For some reason, that guy just fascinated me. And have you ever watched? I don't know what. There's a streaming channel did a document, not a documentary, but he allowed them to come in and interview him. And this was probably like, maybe a year before they put him down. But that guy's...
Put him down.
That guy's nuts. He claimed even in that interview that he didn't do it. He had no idea how those people got under his house. Yep. I was like, are you serious, dude? How in the hell do you expect anybody to believe that? But yeah, there was some pretty sick jokes going around at the time. I remember one in particular was something like, you know, who wrote the book 33 Ways to Insulate Your House? John Wayne Gacy. I mean, yeah, but yeah, there's a picture of him, and you probably don't know who this is. You know, Jimmy Carter was president in the 70s.
Yeah.
So his wife's name was Rosalind Carter. But before Gacy got caught, he was big into local, like,
politics. Yeah.
And he was like in charity groups and community groups. There's actually a picture, you can see it online, with him. He had a picture taken with Rosalind Carter, and they're smiling. And, you know, she's got to be going, man, what a bad move that was.
You got no stories about, like, Ted or the Night Stalker? Those are two bigger names as well during around that time.
Yeah, the Night Stalker. Well, the first one I remember was Charles Manson, the Manson family.
Yeah.
That was grisly, man. Jesus. But when I look back at that now, it's weird because...
I mean, there were so many.
But they put him away basically for life.
Yeah.
I mean, he died in prison, but he never really... He didn't participate in it. He supposedly told him to go do it, but I don't think he was even there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird. I mean, because I think by today's standards and the legal system, I'm not sure he would even be brought to trial.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was probably the first big, like, major crime that I remember, you know, on a national scale. Because I remember that lady, what was the lady's name that was pregnant that they killed?
Wasn't it an actress?
She was an actress, yeah. She was married to a director, Roman Polanski. Oh, I can't believe I don't remember her name. But anyway.
They have the rope that he used in a museum.
But the rope he used?
I'm pretty sure it was a rope that he used to kill her.
He wasn't there.
Really?
Yeah, he wasn't in any of those. Well,
from something that I heard, she was killed with a rope, and they have all the evidence. But either way.
Continue. I don't know. Well, anyway, I remember that they cut the baby out of her. She was pregnant. She was like 8 months pregnant. It's like, oh my God, how could you do that? But anyway, I saw her in a movie. She's in a movie called The Fearless Vampire Killers. It's like a...
You got a thing about vampires.
I love vampire movies. It's really kind of a comedy, but she's in it. Which when I watched it, I thought, wow, that's weird. Because I saw her name in the credits and I'm like, holy crap. That's kind of weird. But yeah, so her husband, Roman Polanski, I think he was out of the country at the time making a movie, but he ended up fleeing the country because he was having an affair or messing around with underage girls.
Yeah.
So he went to a country where he couldn't be extradited, and he's still there. And I don't even know if he's still alive, but what a rat. But yeah, serial killers always fascinated me. I could never figure out what motivated them. I mean, especially when you got into some of the things that they would do to people.
Yeah.
How about you? Which?
What?
Serial killer wise, what was the first one you remember?
Remember? Like, first one I researched or anything? Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know, what's his name? Well, there's the Axeman of New Orleans that I've researched about. I don't know if you know about this. Mm-mm. So basically, I think I've told you, he would kill people with their axe from their garage or wherever an axe was. And he would kill people in New Orleans and just in broad daylight without being seen.
And what year was this?
I don't know, but it was a year enough to where the police guys were like, yep, you see that? That was a murder. And then they would power wash it off, all the blood. All the scenes, power washed.
Well, I was going to say that had to have been back quite a ways for people to have axes in their garages.
So all the evidence was washed away.
You'd probably be hard-pressed to find anybody that has an axe in their garage these days.
Yeah, no, the only evidence was it was used with their axe, and there's their blood.
Mm. Well, they didn't have near the technology back then.
But yeah, so he said, basically, he wrote to the cops saying, basically, threatening if the whole town doesn't play jazz music, whoever he hears not playing jazz music in their house or in their town or at their bar or at their restaurant, that he'll come in and kill you. So,
well, that seemed like a pretty good way to trap him.
Yeah,
you know,
but everybody did it, and there was no more murders after that.
Pick a house and say, don't, you know, have the cops be in there, have the people leave and not play music. Say, come on in, buddy.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what he did. Huh. You'd kill people that were jogging, people in their house. Yeah.
Jogging?
Yeah.
What year was this?
I have no clue.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's cases unsolved. I mean, obviously, I think the first one I've seen was Jack the Ripper. That's the first one, obviously. You know, there's the, what's his name? Rasputin. I was fascinated about Rasputin.
Rasputin?
He's not a serial killer, but that's his death fascinated me.
Wasn't he he was a Russian high up in the government, wasn't he?
Yeah. He wasn't a Russian, but he was like a monk. He was He was the German healer.
They called him the Mad Monk or something?
Yeah, he was like the German leader's healer, and it was a bad feud because of the tension between the states, but not the states, but the countries, but yeah.
Yeah, which reminds me, we got to talk about doing the Operation Paperclip episode. We should do that. Okay, so we're coming up on an hour. So last episode, we reviewed the albums that we gave each other to listen to. Mine, of course, got stellar reviews, and Daniel's got... Yeah. So anyway... So this time we're going to do movies. So we're each going to give each other a movie to watch, and we will review it and talk about it on our next episode. What's the movie you have for me?
So since we talked about it last episode, I would like you to watch Open Season.
Oh. Am I going to cry?
You might. I mean, it's heartwarming in some parts and very sad at other parts.
Did you say there was like three or four of these? You want me to watch the first one?
Yeah, that's the best one. So,
okay. So mine for you, and I'm only doing this because it's one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen. 1971, Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
So write that down.
Is that the original?
Yes. Well, it's the third in the series.
Okay.
But yeah. I think I mentioned this before, but I don't know if it was last year or I got into this. Hey, I'm going to watch all the Planet of the Apes movies. Kind of like I'm doing the King Kong one now. And I got to this one. It was like, I couldn't even watch it all. I was like, I can't do this.
So you're expecting bad reviews on this.
Well, you got to look at it from the comedic value because it's, if you look at it as a serious...
I don't think it's supposed to be comedic, is it?
It's not, but but if you look at it as a serious movie, you won't be able to watch it. But if you look at it from the comedic value, it's hilarious. I mean, it's crazy. All right, so Open Season, and that's an animated?
Yeah.
And I can find that anywhere?
You should be able to, yeah. I think it used to be on Netflix and everything, so...
I don't have Netflix.
Well, I mean, you could do it on the streaming service that I say. But...
Okay.
I might have a DVD.
Wink, wink.
I might have a DVD if you need that. But.
Okay. All right. Anything else before we sign off?
Nope.
All right. Once again, before we go away here, we want to thank our sponsor, C&J Superior Tools. Phone number 563-949-0160. Facebook group C&J Superior Tools. They are your resource for every tool under the sun, so give them a call. So I'm GT.
I'm Daniel.
This time on the mic is over.